sing one more before the pastor comes. We'll sing, there is victory for me, there is victory for me, in the blood of Christ my Savior, there is victory. There is victory.
Lord, bless each one tonight. I'm hobbling a bit tonight because I'm pulling muscle in the calf muscle, some road at work, so I'm hobbling along. But the Lord's good anyhow, isn't it? Praise God. The Lord bless you, and the Lord bless you, Brother Gary. We have a visitor for Sunday morning preaching for us. Jonathan Hall, I was going to say Samuel Hall because my head's on Samuel tonight, but Jonathan Hall, Frank Hall's son, is going to be speaking for us on Sunday morning. So pray for Brother Jonathan. I've never heard Jonathan preaching, so you will be looking forward to it as much as I am, but pray that the Lord will bless Jonathan, and he's a good testimony, him and his wife, and they've come over on a bit of a holiday and they're going to speak for us this Sunday morning. And then keep Mark Hegblum in prayer as well. Sister Carl's son-in-law is married to Ruth. He's pneumonia and he's in hospital. And he wasn't too good. He's come round a bit, Carl says. And let's just keep praying for him. The Lord will touch him, amen. And give him a full recovery, praise God. And let's turn in the Word of God tonight. I want to just look briefly. We want to turn to the book of Samuel. We're continuing in the book of Samuel. We've been in Samuel. I think this is the third service going through the book of Samuel. I'm going to be reading from chapter 2, but I want to read one verse again from chapter 3. And I think I might have mentioned a little bit of this the last night, but I want to go into it more tonight. And there's a challenge in some of these things I want to bring out, and which I have done the last few weeks for myself as well as you. So I'm preaching to myself as well as everybody else. But we need challenged. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Then if we could read in 1 Samuel 2, verse 12 to 17. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it in the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that flesh hook brought up the priest for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to the roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let him not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desire, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for the man abhorred the offering of the Lord, praise God. And we know that Eli's sons weren't good. Eli's sons weren't good, and yet God used them. But tonight I want to look at Samuel, and I've mentioned Eli and his sons before. We'll mention it again. Let's pray again this evening, and we're going to pray for Mark. And that name is familiar to me, that Brother Terry mentioned, or Gary prayed for that. Jacqueline Dennison, I know that name, and I think I might know that woman from years ago, but I'm not sure. But let's just pray anyway and ask the Lord to have his way tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come from your footstool into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we are glad for the precious blood of Jesus Christ tonight that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And Lord, we do plead the merits of that precious blood afresh on our lives and on this house and all in it and all that's near and dear to us. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And we pray for the life of that blood, the Holy Ghost, the quickening power to come upon us tonight, Lord. I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you will, Lord. And I pray for Mark Hegblum tonight. You'll touch him, heal him and deliver him. Raise him up with a hunger and thirst to serve you and live for you. And bless Ruth and all the children. Strengthen them. Bless them. Be with them this evening, I pray. And have your way in all of our lives. Bless your word to their heart. And bind every work of the devil. And may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see here Samuel, the call of Samuel, and we'll see, and I've already mentioned through the other services how it came about. Hannah was in the temple praying, and her husband said to her that she was more precious to him than 10 sons. He loved her, but she had no children. And she went in and prayed, and she prayed a silent prayer, only her lips moved. But God heard the silent prayer, and Eli thought she was drunk. And when he questioned her and he realized then she wasn't drunk, and he said, may the Lord grant your petition. And God granted her petition, and she promised if God would give her a son, she'd give him back to the Lord. So Samuel is loaned to the Lord. Now I'm going to preach a sermon just on that some night, because that is some verse. It's a strange verse that he's loaned to the Lord. But he's loaned to the Lord. That's what the Bible says, and we can't change it. And it's there for a reason. He's loaned to the Lord. And my, that's something, isn't it, that Hannah says, I'm lending them to the Lord. Praise God. I'll tell you, that's a wonderful thing, you know. You know, and you see, it says here, the word of the Lord was precious, rare in those days, and there was no open vision. And we could ask the reason why, because the spiritual heavens were shut up. It was a time when the spiritual heavens were shut up because of the unbelief and unrighteousness of God's professing people, and the priests that had the office to do the work of God, many of them weren't doing what they were meant to be doing. And I sincerely believe we're living in a generation again, and I believe any true preacher will agree with me tonight. Half of the pulpits and what's in them are not doing what they're meant to do, and there's too much compromise. Too much compromise to please the world and the things of the world, and things that were preached out against. Nobody wants to preach against it. If it affects the numbers, they won't do it. If it affects the numbers, they won't preach the truth. They're preaching to the crowd. They're tickling the ear. And that's the way it was back here as well. And God wasn't happy. And you know, these were degenerate days. And God takes this child Samuel and he sets him in the midst. And the Bible tells us in Psalms 8 verse 2, and out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And here God takes this young man, Samuel, and he calls him supernaturally, and he calls him young. And he sets him in the midst, and God is going to use this man to strike against the enemy. And how over the generations we could go back and see, for God's raised up men. Men that you wouldn't blink or look at twice. Like you take William Branham, and have you ever read his life story? Seventh grade education. His dad was a drunkard. He killed a man in a fight with a knife. He even changed his name and everything. Now, there's no... as far as schooling goes and all them things, you'd never pick him. But God picked him. And at his birth, there was a supernatural light appeared. At his very birth. And his parents weren't even believers or nothing. They never went to church. And he was Catholic on one side and part Indian as well. He was mixed race. And yet God used him. And then look at Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth couldn't even talk. He stuttered. He couldn't talk right. And he had a temper like a buzzsaw. And his wife done the preaching until he got the Holy Ghost. Then he started it. And you read it. You read one night he had a whole row with her. And he shoved her out the front door and she run round coming in the other door and all. And that's the way they carried on. But God used him when he got the Holy Ghost. He got the call of God. And that man was mightily used to the Lord. And you know, one time when me and Brother John was in New Zealand, there's an old man over there we met. And he'd all the clippings when Wigglesworth visited New Zealand. And when Wigglesworth visited New Zealand, there was revival. Now, I'll give you an example. Before the actual meeting started, while they waited outside, people preached on the steps, and there was on some occasions 150 conversions outside the meeting before the meeting even got started. That's how powerful they were. And miracles happened in them meetings, powerful miracles. These just men with a stutter, a man with a seventh grade education, this modern society wouldn't pick them. You know what modern society does today and the Bible schools do today? Do you realize they send people to see psychiatrists and things to see how they are upstairs? Now I'll tell you, you start working like that. You know, a prophet of God said when Moses, you know, was at that burning bush and God said, take your shoes off, you're in holy ground, he met with Almighty God. And there he was in the presence of Almighty God. He says, just imagine if Moses had took one of them leaves off and went down to the laboratory with him. He says, God never would have talked to them. But he didn't do that. He knew it was the presence of God, and God gave him two signs. And you know, William Branham in the 20th century had two signs. Two signs. And one of them signs was a discernment of the secrets of the heart, specially gifted. And that's a man with a seventh grade education. Not very smart, but he could tell you what you're doing earlier in the day and what you'll do next week if God showed him it. See, that's the knowledge and the mind of God. Amen. And here God chooses Samuel, and God have chosen the weak things. 1 Corinthians 1:27, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And here in Samuel here, this is the scripture mentioned in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, verse 28, lent unto the Lord. That's what Hannah said. She's lent them unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the Lord takes the loan of him, that he might through him speak to all Israel. A man that's in the figure of speech is lent to the Lord, and yet the Lord speaks to the whole of Israel through him. Now there's a lot of things we can learn through this, and I maybe won't get through all this tonight, and I won't worry about that either, because there's more and more to come, because you get into these Old Testament books, it just keeps unfolding. But the first thing is the call of God, I want to say, may come early in life. And many times God will call a man early in life, and God will prepare that man. And Samuel must have been really a very, you know, a good child. And the Lord spoke to him, perhaps he's about 6 years of age. And isn't it wonderful that Almighty God, the Ancient of Days, can make himself known to a child? Now I'm saying, you mightn't agree with me, six, that's not important, but I'll tell you, he was a young fella. He was only a lad. Whatever age you want to say it was, but I'm saying about 6 or 7 years of age. And the Lord spoke to them. And the Lord had spoke to young men before that was very young and used them mightily of the Lord. You know, Stephen Shelley was saved as a young man. And when he's about 7 years of age, he fasted And he put on sackcloth and ashes. He read it in the Old Testament. And he'd done like the old priest here in the Old Testament. And there was somebody that was blind and he prayed for him and the Lord gave them their eyesight back. 7 years of age. See, the Lord seen his heart. And you know the miracle. There's a woman, she testifies in one of Reinhard Bunke's clips, Christ for Nations, years ago. But it was actually the children in the Sunday school praying for her. And she couldn't walk. She couldn't do anything. And the children prayed for her. God healed her. And then they photoed her and they filmed her bending over and doing her gardening and everything. She didn't need a wheelchair no more. God will hear the prayer of a child. And God can speak to the child. And God can speak when you're young. And God can talk to you when you're really young. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And this doesn't just mean seeking them early in the daytime. This means in your lifetime. It means in your lifetime that we're to seek the Lord early. When I look at my own family and I see them, and some of them's growing up and they're getting older and they're not serving the Lord. And I tell you, it behoves us that we serve the Lord when we're young. And I tell you, I did serve the Lord fairly young, but I wished I'd served him even younger. And I've no regrets serving the Lord, but a plenty when I served the devil. I regret every minute of it. And that's the truth. Serve the Lord young. Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and lofty place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God can revive us. I don't care what way things seem to be going, and if there seems to be no move or anything, if we will pray and seek the Lord can revive us if we come sincere and we come humble. God can do it. He's promised to do it, and God will keep his word. Here's another thing, and this is verse 7. You could go back till in chapter 2. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The call of God may come, although we, you know, at that point before that, we might never really experience the Lord. God could call a man, and that's the first time God's ever dealt with him or spoke to him. A man or a woman that's never experienced, you know, the Lord speaking to them, and God could call them. Suddenly the Lord could call them. And Samuel's a young man, and the Bible says here in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but the Lord called him. Even before he knew him, he didn't come to know him, then God called him. He didn't know God, and God spoke to him, and God called him. And I tell you, God works like that. You know, when the Lord really moved on me in High Bank Jail, and he called me at the same time, it was a real experience. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I'm praying, and I believe I'd asked the Lord to save me as a young man. And you say, well, you're not saved. I was saved, but the devil told me for years I wasn't. It's like Brother Gary says, he's as well saved then as he ever was saved. And that's the truth. But the devil doesn't want to tell us that. Sure he doesn't. He wants to tell us that there's some sort of a ladder of works we have to get up on till and start climbing on. It's not the truth. But once you call on the Lord, you're saved. He believed in the Lord, you know. Samuel did. But as yet he had no personal dealings with him. The existence of God was, you know, wasn't maybe known to him at the start. But God began to reveal himself to him. And God began to speak to him. And he earnestly started to worship the Lord. And, you know, in chapter 1, verse 28, you could read about it. But as yet, he had received no definite message from the Lord. But God changed that. God changed that. And what a difference it makes in one's religious life when the word, you know, when you hear the word of God and the word of God goes down on you and God moves with his word upon you. It makes a difference. You know, there's a few people here in the service on Sunday night, and I'm telling you, they've never ever heard the gospel. We're privileged. People that's never heard the gospel, and they're not children. They're a good age, and never heard the gospel. And you know, the sad thing is, there's places, and if they went to it, they still wouldn't hear it. Now, I'll tell you, that's a real rebuke to the priests. Now, you're following me now, where am I? You see, here was a priest, Eli, and Eli's sons weren't serving the Lord. And Eli himself maybe wasn't where he should be. And there's a lot of priests today. And you know, if your children and my children went into their congregation, they wouldn't have a big chant opportunity to get saved, for they wouldn't hear the gospel. They would hear a lot of things, but they wouldn't hear the gospel. Now you see, people talk about the power of God. Let me make that statement here tonight, and it's on record. There's no power of God outside of the gospel. And I'll tell you why. For the preaching of the gospel is unto them that believe. It's the power of God. It is the power of God. And when you want the real power of God, the gospel produces it. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Those who earnestly and honestly seek, like Samuel, shall surely find. And when Samuel heard the voice, Samuel began to seek the Lord. Here's another thing, and you can read this in verse 3 of chapter 2. The lamp of God went out. The lamp was close to go out, wasn't it? The call of God comes at an opportune time. You know, when people say that it's dead and God can't do this and God can't do that, God will raise someone up. God began with a Sousa Street revival with a blind man. And I've told you before how much he prayed and how much he sought God for hours every day. And when you trace the Sousa Street, that spread all over the world. It was a fire. It wasn't some of this nonsense you see now and the blowing over people. That's all pure rubbish. I'm just going to be honest with you. Nonsense. You don't see real men of God in the past working like that. But I'll tell you what you see. When they're praying for people, they're healed. They're delivered. When they preach, signs follow it. But you see, what people call revival and the fire of God today is far from it. But I'll tell you, Samuel knew the real presence and the real power of God. And this lump was almost gone out. Now there's someone very sad, you know, but the idea of the lump gone out, isn't there? It's a sad thing. And we as individuals have a lump ourselves. And we need oil in it. And we need the glass cleaned. And we need oil in our lamps. And we need a burning for the Lord. And we need fresh oil. And we might have been blessed and anointed last week, but God needs to give us it again this week. And we need to keep the top up going. And we need to keep our lamps trimmed and burning, the wee song says. And here, it's a sad picture here, that this lamp was almost gone out. And you know, had he not expressly commanded that the light of the holy lamp stand was to burn continually. Leviticus 24:3-4, New Keeping Samuel. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. In this Old Testament, when you read of the lamp and the tabernacle and these things, it was to burn continually. And I'll tell you, if that's under the Old Covenant and the Old Testament, and it was to burn continually, we need the fire of God to continually burn in our hearts and in our souls. We need a filling up. Old Joseph Smith, that old Elam pastor, said, you know, one time when he's preaching, he said, Lord, give us a gallon and bring us up to empty. Because we're below the empty mark. That's what he said. You know, when the red light comes on in your car, my car, she'd probably do it realistically at least 100 miles. That's the way she is. Some other cars mightn't do that. Maybe 50 miles. She'd still take you a bit. But there's one thing, you know, when that light flashes, ding, ding, ding. How many cars does that? Maybe it's all running in the full. But if you get her low and she ding, ding, you, and it says, refuel soon. Refuel soon. Hit the station. Hit the station, fume. You need oil. If she's diesel, you need oil. If she's petrol, you need petrol. She needs a top up. And if you don't top her up, she's going to run out. And I'll tell you, God's people today need filled up. Hallelujah! We need a top up with the oil of God. And here God raises up Samuel, and he doesn't take a big educated man at 30 or 40 years of age. He speaks to the wee fella, and he's called Samuel, and he started off as an impossibility. But his mom believed in a God that could do all things, and she prayed a silent prayer, and only her lips moved, and God heard the silent prayer. Hallelujah! And God gave her the desires of her heart and more, and she lent them to the Lord. That's wonderful. I'm telling you, That's touched me, I'll tell you that. There's more in that, but I can't go into it all this evening. But you lent them on to the Lord. I'll tell you, I guarantee you, you'd lend your children to the Lord if they'd go, wouldn't you? I'd lend all mine. I'd lend them all to the Lord. And I would that the devil wouldn't have them for an hour minute. Praise God. I'll tell you, you see, this backslidden condition of the priesthood and the lamp of God was allowed to go out. And I'll tell you, people of doctrinal truths and the true. Don't get me wrong tonight, there's people of doctrinal truths that could be true. But they're more interested in that continually. It's the same thing. And there's no evangelism. There's no vision for the lost. The unsaved can come in and go out and they don't even hear the gospel. I'll tell you something. God's going to judge that. God has to judge that. Jesus himself preached repentance. John preached repentance. All through the Bible they preached repentance. And there's no way this generation's getting that for less. They're going to have to preach it. And God's wanting young men. Hallelujah. And he's going to speak to them. Praise God. You see, this is a jest of the watchful grace of God that spoke to Samuel. You know, it spoke to them. And God was moving on him. And God was preparing him. Because God didn't want this lamp to go out. And because God, it was near out. And God didn't want it to go out. But God was lighting another lamp. And it was a lamp in Samuel's heart. And God was going to raise Samuel up. And Samuel was a mighty prophet, you know. And there's something you read about Samuel. I don't know if you read it about any other. Not one word of Samuel fell to the ground. But what God brought it all to pass. Isn't that something? I'll tell you, people talk about prophecies and all. And half the prophecies today, they prophesy who's going to do this and that. And half of it never happens. But Samuel's prophecies came to pass, every single bit of them. Isn't that wonderful? You see, because he was serving the Lord. See, that's what's wrong today. Many's dying out for lack of oil. 5 more minutes and then we're going to pray. The call of God, here's another thing. The call of God come in a very natural way. Came in a natural way in verse 4 and 5. The Lord called Samuel and he ran on to Eli. He thought Eli had called him. And he ran into Eli, and this happened several times. And even though Eli was backslid, let's just tell it how it is. Eli wasn't where he should have been, but he still recognized it was God. And he says, Samuel, have he called you again? Answer him. And Samuel answered him. He's a young lad. And the voice was so, you know, human-like that he might, you know, he thought it was Eli. It was like a human voice. People say, how did God talk to you? He just talked to me like you're talking to me. You know what I mean? People, you see, they're thinking some, you know, mysterious thing. But God can talk to you just like some other person can talk to you. But it's God talking. And I tell you, I have to know that it's God. Sometimes maybe God does talk to us, but we're not listening. We have the ears cottonwooled up. We need the wax knocked out. Spiritually. Amen. You need to see, we need to take care that we know God's call. And sometimes God might talk to us. It might be a rebuke. And you see, Samuel was coming with a straight word from God. He wasn't pussyfooting about. They'd had all that. Eli had let things go, but Samuel wasn't going to let them go when he started to prophesy the word of the Lord. And sometimes when the word of the Lord comes, it's strong stuff, it's strong meat. It might be to rebuke us. Amen. But if it's of the Lord, we'll be able to take it, won't we? The Lord had a purpose in speaking here to Samuel as he did. He wished Eli the priest to know at the lips of the child that the Lord had spoken. And Samuel's obedience to the call reveals the spirit that was in him. Right spirit was in him, you say. Here's another thing in verse 10. The call of God demands an answer. And speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. That's what Samuel said. Samuel said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Many times, I'm guilty of it myself. Now, maybe you're not guilty of it. Maybe nobody else is guilty of it. I'm guilty of it myself. Many times I speak, pray for the Lord to talk to me and speak to me and answer me and move on me. And many times God speaks to us in a way where he has already spoken to us and we don't see it. It's almost like the fella says you can't see the tree for the woods. And many times God speaks to us through maybe a song or the preaching or someone, and God has spoken to us, but we never really heard it. Now I do believe that God's call is clear and my sheep will hear my voice. And Samuel's a perfect example of this. Samuel heard the Lord's voice. And Samuel recognized the Lord's voice. And Samuel obeyed the Lord's voice. Now Eli, here you see, knew that it was God talking to him because of the times that it had happened. And when God calls, we must respond. And isn't it the same in the matter of salvation? It's wonderful for people to hear the message of salvation. But then there's an onus on them people that have to respond. There has to be a response to the message of salvation. And when God speaks, and even if whether it's salvation or a backslider, and there's people backslide away, and God wants response from them to come back to them. You know, I was thinking, met a man the other night here, and this man goes to a certain denomination that I was maybe brought up in for a time, and he's a nice man. This man sings. He sings and all. And they used to be in a group and things, but he's telling me that he's went through a hard time. He's went through a divorce and for 10 years now ago, and he's went through a hard time and everything, and I get talking to him, and he's telling me how the Lord's been speaking to him and moving on him. And I tell you that God's not finished with a backslider, you know. The Lord loves the backslider. The Lord's forever married to the backslider. But I'm telling you this because I said to him, my dad, you know, was backslid, as you know, for 18 years. And you know, if you'd have met him out, you wouldn't have knew he was saved. He was badly backslid. And now he would have told you out his own self. I'm not just saying that. That's the truth. And people used to say to him, Billy, would you not come back to the Lord? Billy, do you not think about the Lord? Billy, do this and do that. And my dad used to say, you know, there was never a day he didn't think about the Lord. And he would have loved to come back to the Lord, but he said he couldn't do it. He said he couldn't do it. God would have to bring him back. That's what he said. God would have to bring him back. And doesn't the Bible say, no man can come unto me except my Father draweth him, and no man can know him save to him who the Son will reveal him. And the Lord spoke to him. My dad, I'm talking about. Through a pen. A wee pen. A pen. That was on the floor. And that scripture that's on the front of this tablet was on it. Be still and know that I am God. That was God talking to him. From a scripture on a pen. So you might not, God might not audibly speak to you with an audible voice tonight, but God spoke to my dad there through a pen. The scripture and the pen. Because you see, God's words, God's voice. Now that's the truth. God's word is God's voice. And I remember when the Lord spoke to me in my mom's house in the front room. And I was really needing deliverance from so many things. I could write with God. I did everything I could do. People had prayed for me, had done it all, but I still needed deliverance. And the voice spoke to me. And the voice said to me, Isaiah 1 verse 18. And it kept speaking it. And I got out of bed and I got the Bible out. And I started to read it. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The next verse says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye be cut off with the sword. Now listen to Lathalius. There's a fellow I chummed with at that time that God had moved on. And God moved on him several times. And he's not here tonight. He's not here tonight. Now I'm convinced I wouldn't have been here either. I'm convinced God was giving me an opportunity to come that I had to obey. And I obeyed God's voice. Romans 6 and 13 says this, and I'm going to close. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now let me say this in verse 14, then I'm going to close. Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. God spoke to him. And sometimes you could have a word from the Lord and you're feared to bring it. You could have someone from God. And the call of God may involve a painful testimony. It's not all sunshine and roses. But I'll tell you, this message was a humiliating message received for Eli. God had a rebuke for him. Even though he was far older than Samuel, he was a superior man as far as ministry goes and God's work goes. He was the older man. But Samuel had the word of the Lord for him. But he took it. Eli took it. I'll tell you that, he took it. He did take it. And I tell you, God can speak to us from a child. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. And let's really pray that God will give us the top up of the oil. You know, there was a group, and they were called New Oil Ministries, a group one time. But we want the real oil, don't we? We don't want a name. We want the real thing. Let's pray and seek the Lord for the real oil tonight. And I'll tell you about this oil. You see this oil here? You can't put it in an old skin. You know what I'm saying? Where you put it in the old thing and it blew it apart. This is the real oil. Isn't it? The Holy Spirit's the real oil. Amen. May God fill us. And I don't mean old in our bodies. They're older. God, I need oil tonight. I need this body oiled a bit. I need God to come in and oil this, my joints. Do you ever know, this is the truth. Now, you brothers know what I'm telling you. This is the truth. Do you ever notice when the power of God really comes on you, you'll not feel one pain. God can anoint you. You know, one of the last services my dad come to, and the man couldn't walk. And the Spirit of God come on him in the back of the room, and he danced up to the front and danced around the church. That's the truth. The Spirit of God come on him. That's only an example. You think in the Old Testament, when God moved in them men of God, they could throw them gates off, fire them up over the hill, them several ton in weight. They never needed a digger. Slew a lion. That's the power of God. God can move in our bodies. I believe it tonight. Let's come and seek the Lord this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for the call of Samuel. How that you spoke on to him supernaturally. And he heard your voice. Lord, he wasn't sure, but the old priest knew, even though he was what he was. But thank God, Lord, even when you moved Samuel later than he took the word of rebuke, even Eli. Lord, whether it's a word of good or rebuke, but Lord, we want you to speak to us and move us. We want you to fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh God, cause us to be running over the top, pressed down, filled with the oil of God, the joy of God. Lord, we know that your presence brings a blessing. We ask for that anointing that will destroy every yoke to come on your people. Come on, my brother, my sister, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, the power of God. The anointing of God, let it come afresh upon each one of us on our bodies. Fill us, come in us, come on us, come through us. Come on us like rain, like the former rain and the latter rain, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. We need a deluge, Lord, of the Holy Ghost outpouring. We need you, Lord. Lord, if we don't have you, we'll be like the crop in the ground that the sun burned. But if you'll just give us some spiritual rain, Lord, it'll water us, it'll bring us to come forth, Lord. Help us tonight, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless every single one in this room. Bless the mothers at home, the sisters at work, brothers at work. Lord, we pray especially for the backslidden tonight. Maybe someone that said they'll never be in church again. Lord, I pray you'll bind that devil. I pray the Holy Ghost will go to speak unto them. I pray the Holy Ghost will go to moving on them. I pray you'll speak a word into their innermost being that'll set them on their feet again and turn them around again to yourself. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, the Bible says, turn us again and we shall be saved. Father, I pray for a mighty turning upon your people with the power of the Holy Ghost. Bless we Laurie tonight at home. God, let your mighty hand be upon him, I pray. Do him good, raise him up, and Sister Winifred as well. Touch her in her body, Lord. Give her your strength and grace tonight. And Father, we pray for Jonathan Hall and all his family. We pray for the power of God to come on him. We pray as he stands up here on Sunday, the Holy Ghost will come all over him. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Have your way, we pray, in our lives. For those that have heard the gospel this last few days, Lord, we just pray you'll speak to them and move on them and draw them to yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim children, sons and daughters, nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles, bring them in, we pray, Lord Jesus, for you are coming again very soon. Have your way in our lives. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for shortcomings, for failures. Help us to serve you while we can with all of our heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord this evening.